Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staff, and you can find out more information about how you can get a job anywhere in the U.S. doing the thing you want to do, which is this physical therapy thing, with Arias. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. And one common misconception that I want to get out of the way right away, it doesn't cost you anything. Yeah, they're not trying to get money out of you and then find you a job. They're just sitting there with a bunch of jobs, and you're sitting there wanting to go to different places and travel around and be a PT. Match made in heaven. Arias is the leader. They'll get it done for you. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Paid travel and housing benefits. Positions in all of the 50 states, a variety of different settings, plus Con Ed money too. That's a big question in travel physical therapy. Great way to see the country, and you can do it as a new grad, a seasoned professional, AURESmedical.com. That's Arias. These guys have supported the show from the beginning, so we want to make sure you support them. And by the way, they're going to support you by getting you a job doing some PT. The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Want to thank Dr. Aaron Horsching from Squat University for taking his time to talk to us about the squat and his Instagram page and how he leverages that to communicate with patients and PTs alike. Make sure to check him out on Insta at squat_university.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Wanted to say if you're listening to the show, thank you. Let us know from where, too. Been having some people from around the world kind of tweet at us, message us on Facebook. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, at PT Pintcast on all social media. Plus, you can email me, jimmy@ptpintcast.com, and that's also the website. On the show today, our next guest is the founder of Squat University, Squat You. As a physical therapist, strength and conditioning coach, speaker, and writer, he's made it his life purpose to help others decrease their aches and pains, improve their athletic performance, and find their true strength. Plus, he just published his first book, The Squat Bible, which can be found right now on Amazon. On the show with us today, Dr. Aaron Horsching. Aaron, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Dig your stuff on Instagram. I've jumped onto Squat You TV, the hashtag Ask Squat You show. It's good stuff. I love it a lot, but I want to start with the book, man. That's something I don't think I could ever pull off. You wrote a book and you published it. What made you decide to write one and give us the quick and dirty about the Squat Bible?
Yeah, so when I was going through grad school, I was really into writing research. I loved just the whole process of, you know, gathering sources, reading research, just becoming an expert on whatever subject it was. And I started writing a few articles that got published in the IJSPT, the International Journal of Sports Physical Therapy. And as I was, you know, going through my first couple of years of working after I graduated, I just sort of lost that love of being so technical with all the writing and stuff like that. And I didn't really feel like I was making an impact in how many people I could reach with my love of writing. So I was like, I just sat down one day, I'm like, man, you know, I want to write a book. And, you know, Kelly Starrett had come out with Becoming a Supple Leopard. And I was seeing this connect where you're seeing people from a professional standpoint, physical therapists and whatnot, taking their knowledge, but simplifying it down to the most basic ways of explaining, you know, these different things that people can do to improve their lives through empowerment and knowledge, make their lives better. And I was like, this is something I feel like I can do. And I sat down to write. And at first I wrote way too much. I think I wrote like 500 pages, single spaced. It was stupid. So,
whoops.
Yeah. So I then whittled it down to what ended up being 128 pages of very, very simple to understand work that now anyone can read. If you've got any, you know, type of interest in weightlifting, exercise prescription, you know, this book can be understood, but it's based in science. So I actually cite a bunch of articles. So if you do have the background and understanding that you want to go through and, you know, find out, hey, where did he actually get this from? I actually cite all my different references at the end of each chapter.
Nice. As I mentioned before, find it on Amazon right now. It's called The Squat Bible, the ultimate guide to mastering the squat and finding your true strength. Not a bad batting average, Aaron. You get 4.6 out of 5 stars on Amazon. And usually people on Amazon can be pretty harsh if they don't like something. So that's cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun and a huge success, you know, off the start. I really didn't expect the response I got at first.
Yeah. Well, hey, congrats on that. Let's go to the thing you love writing about, love talking about, especially love talking about on your TV show online, Ask Squat You. Let's talk about movement theory. You know, what comes to mind when I say movement theory? What do you want either PTs or as your book and your videos, what do you want the public to know about it?
I think the biggest thing, especially when I talk to PTs, the biggest thing I can get across to them is when I'm talking movement theory, I want people to take a step back from the way we start to learn about the body. When you're going through PT school, everybody looks at the body through a microscope. You know, when you're talking about a knee injury, you're looking at, all right, how can I manual muscle test the knee? What special test can I do at the knee? And we never really take a step back and think, oh, hey, how does foot stability, you know, lead to possible knee injuries? We are always so concerned with what's going on at one particular joint that we never expand our understanding and look at just movement in general. You know, when I first started getting out into the physical therapy world and working, you know, going through evaluations with different athletes, I sort of would have these continual deja vu moments because we'd go through our examination. We always get to the point where I'm like, all right, I want to see you move. Get up, take your shoes off. You know, if someone's here for back pain, knee pain, hip pain, whatever they're here for, and I need to be able to figure out what's going on, I always ask them to just perform simple movements. You know, obviously, if someone's coming in with a sprained ankle, you know, most physical therapists know, let me see you walk. Are you walking with a gait that's a little bit off? Are you turning your toe out a little bit? But rarely do we just say, hey, let me see you perform just your basic squat. Two legs and let me see you perform a basic single leg squat. Because I believe that every single person should have the capability to perform a basic bodyweight squat without shoes on, ass to grass. So, you know, all the way down, full range of motion. I don't care if you are a 16-year-old athlete or a 60-year-old grandma. You should have the capability to fully move and express movement the way your body was designed. I mean, if you look at a number of third world countries, and people always bring this up, call it the third world squat or the Asian squat, it is a common practice to see people sit into a deep bodyweight squat as a resting position, or if they're doing something, if they're cooking food. My co-author on my book, Dr. Kevin Santhana, his family is originally from Laos, and he'll tell me stories about how his mother will sit into a deep bodyweight squat for 30 minutes at a time while she's preparing dinner for them. And if you ask just your normal average American, you know, how long can you sit in a bodyweight squat? First off, they've probably never done it. Or if they can, it's a couple seconds before they fall backwards. I mean, I remember whenever I go and I teach at the University of Missouri, or Mizzou as we call it, once a semester in the springtime for their special skills course. And I'll always, you know, get to the point in our teacher where I'll ask all of the PT students to get up, take their shoes off, and just sit in the bottom of a deep bodyweight squat. And I'd say probably 99% of the class cannot do it. Or if they do, their toes are just splayed out to the side like crazy. Their back is rounded like they have a turtle shell on their back. It's almost as if we have thought of so many other movements as physical therapists, what is good movement, but we forget about the squat because we only view it as an exercise. So we forget that it's a full body movement ever before it's an exercise. You know, regardless if we're talking about the single leg squat version, because most people do not ever perform a single leg squat. And there's a whole nother side to that, you know, I think we're missing as far as our movement capabilities.
Right. So since we do, most of the audience is working in the United States, or, you know, not the, you know, people doing the third world squat or the Asian squat, where do you see the faults? Like joint by joint, where are the major faults that you see, and then how do you approach them?
Definitely. Well, I think the ankles are by far the most limited joint when you're talking about what limits the full squat ability. If you think about it, throughout our day, because we don't ever move through that full range, the ankles are never stressed to the point where they're going to adopt to their normal movement capabilities. And here's a big thing too. Whenever you're going through PT school and we learn about ankle range of motion, you learn that most people need what? Maybe 10, 12 degrees of dorsiflexion to be able to walk or run, clear a staircase. But how do we test that? We test it in an open chain way. We sit on the side of the bed and we put our foot up. how often are you actually in open chain? When we're walking, yeah, but how many other movements ever have an open chain dorsiflexion? You know, we don't think about, hey, you need about 30 to 35 degrees of closed chain dorsiflexion to perform most basic simple movements, you know, sitting down into a deep squat to grab a box. You know, so just functionally, I think a lot of times we miss the point of how much ankle mobility we need. And when we don't have that, you see a number of compensations all the way body. I mean, if we go directly up to the knee, when you don't have enough dorsiflexion and you try to get into a deep squat position, straight off the bat, you can let the knee cave in. So knee valgus is going to be one of the first things. Your low back will round, your pelvis will pull under your body. You'll go into a very extreme posterior pelvic tilt in order to stay balanced if you try to go into that deep position without enough ankle range of motion. So by far, that's the first thing. So understanding how we need to approach the ankle and testing and treating it in a closed chain environment in order to get the carryover to our full functional movement.
Yeah, you can see that. I mean, just working as a student and doing your clinicals, I mean, the ankle was the one joint I think we spent, you know, we did the ankle like at 150 miles an hour, just kind of blew past it, really just hip, knee, shoulder. That was really the big focus. But then I think I saw the most deficits in terms of range of motion at that ankle, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is when people come into your clinic as a physical therapist for whatever issue it is, a lot of times we only look at that area or we may only look at the contributing joints above and below it. So if someone has back pain, you know, we'll look at the hip joint often. We may look at the thoracic spine depending on what type of restrictions they have or what's causing their pain. But rarely would we even think to look at the ankle. Now, obviously, my practice is a little biased because I deal with higher level athletes who are putting themselves in, you know, positions throughout the day where they're actually exposed to their full ankle limitation. But, you know, for example, if I have an athlete who is doing CrossFit, who's doing weightlifting or powerlifting, and they have back pain, yes, I'm going to check out the hip because if the hip is limited in its range of motion, the back has to move excessively. Obviously, you know, joint by joint approach, that's a pretty simple understanding to make the connection between the two. However, if I don't check the ankle and find out, hey, that person's limited ankle mobility is then causing compensations all the way up the body, I'm never really fully treating that athlete to my full capabilities. And that back pain could definitely come back. I may make it feel good for a little bit because, you know, I did different things to improve the stability of the back, improve the mobility of the hip in the short term, but I never really fixed the athlete as an entire person. So that's one of the big things. Whenever I am educating a patient, I feel like education is probably one of the most key important, you know, components of the evaluation process because so often athletes come to you and they've seen their doctor and I always ask, you know, what did your doctor tell you? And a lot of times the doctor may give them a little bit of a hint of what they think is wrong, but they never really take the time to explain things as in-depth and simply as possible. So I'll always, you know, go through and I'm like, whatever issue you have, I'm here to help you treat that, but I'm here to help you as an athlete, as a full body, full person approach. So while we may be doing things that are specific to the area that's injured, whether it's a stretching, whether it's a, you know, manual technique or whatnot, we're going to be doing things that may not seem like they have much of a connection. If you have back pain, I may be doing some ankle mobility work, but that's to make sure that I'm hitting every possible weak link that as an athlete, as a full person, is holding you back from your full movement capabilities that is then leading to your pain. Because the last thing I want is for you to come back to me in a year or 2 years because this pain has come back.
Right. So let's stick with the ankle. You know, just what's one or two real quick go-to ankle mobility movements or exercises that you do in closed chain to get a little more of that dorsiflexion? What do you like? What's in your holster?
Definitely. Well, I mean, the most simple thing that almost every PT is going to have in their clinic is just a simple slant board. So, you know, obviously gastroc and soleus stretching with a bent knee on a slant board is one of the easiest things you can do. One of the things I challenge a lot of people to do, especially if you have an athlete that can get into a deep squat, is picking up something heavy. You can do a kettlebell, you can do a weighted plate, something, you know, maybe 20, 25 pounds, sit into a deep squat. And what you're going to do is then drive one knee. You're going to rotate your body, drive one knee over that toe. So basically you are getting into your full functional range of ankle mobility, but you're working that closed chain ankle dorsiflexion way that relates to your target goal of deep squatting movement. So I'll do that. I'll have them drive their knee over their toe, hold it for about 10 seconds, rotate back, and then rotate it to the other side. I think it most people would call it a goblet squat ankle stretch or something like that. So that's probably one of my favorite because it's so relatable to our full end goal of improving our deep squat position.
All right, I'd be a bad podcast host if I didn't ask you, what's your favorite type of squat, man? There's so many different variations. What do you like? What's your go-to?
Gosh, I know. I would probably say back squat right now is my favorite type of squat. It's taken me a while to get there, though. When I was going through school, I started competing in Olympic weightlifting when I was 18 years old, so a freshman in college. So it's been over 12 years now. And in that time, I've really learned a lot about myself and changed my, I guess you would say, my theories on weight training and whatnot. And at first, I didn't really like the back squat, probably because I put it off till the end of my training after I would be doing snatches or clean and jerks. So by the time I actually get to that part of my training, I'm so dead tired, I just would not want to do squats. So I'd rather do front squats because I felt they were easier for my body. So now I actually commit one full day or two full days during the week just to back squatting. So it's a lot more enjoyable when you've got a lot more energy to put into it. And I feel like in concentrating on the back squat, which I mean, a lot of people would say is the king of all exercises because you're able to load your body so much more in a back squat than you can in any other type of squat. I feel like I've, in my more limited time now training, obviously with having PT practice and then doing a lot of stuff with Squat University, I feel like the loading with the back squat has been carried over into so many other aspects of my training that even though I'm not training as often, I'm still able to maintain or even progress in other ways because of it.
That's cool. All right, you're going to take a quick break. Want to thank our friends from Arias Medical Staffing. I know you're in Missouri, but these guys have paid travel assignments all over, be it a PT anywhere you want, all over the U.S., 50 states in a bunch of different settings, and you can go from position to position, or if you want to take a couple weeks off in between positions. Also, some questions we had off of Twitter about Arias. They do get you Con Ed money too, and they do have benefits. So just because you're doing these short 13-week assignments wherever you want to go in the country doesn't mean you miss out on cool stuff like that because you got to keep up with your CEUs. And is it a loan thing? Well, no. They've also got an opportunity for you to bring a travel buddy. You can bring your BFF, another PT, want to be on the road with you. They've also got OT, nursing programs as well. So grab a buddy, check them out online. That's ariusmedical.com, A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Want to thank those guys for sponsoring the show. Listen, give them a reach, either a call or an email, and just find out where the jobs are and see if it's where you want to go. All right, you're under no obligation, and no, it doesn't cost you anything. They just find you a job, and then you go get paid to do it. That's it. You don't pay them anything. Find them at AUREUSmedical.com. We're going to kick it off next with three questions with Aaron Horschig on the PT Pintcast. We tweet, we post, we snap, we Insta. Online on all social media platforms at PT Pintcast.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy, it's fast, it's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. All right, back on the PT Pintcast with Aaron Horschig. Aaron, three questions from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. Are you ready for them?
Let's do it.
All right, so first question is, where would you want to go? I know you're in Missouri. We'll get to your clinic in a second, but where would you want to go if you could go anywhere you wanted and be a PT for 13 weeks?
13 weeks. I think I'd like to go probably to California. I've never been there, but I've heard the weather's amazing.
Can't go wrong with California. It's nice. second question, what's something you've read that's really, really, really inspired you?
Really inspired me. I really was inspired by Gray Cook's work off his book, Movement. I just really, really enjoyed it. I felt like it was an eye-opener for me at looking at the body a different way. So I felt like that really inspired me to take my practice to a different level.
Cool. And now third question, who is someone in the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about? You can name drop.
I would probably say my boss, he's going to hate me calling him that, Travis F. He is the owner, head physical therapist at Boost Physical Therapy and Sport Performance. He started this small clinic in the KC metro area, I believe 9 years ago today. We now have seven clinics.
Wow.
Where we specialize in treating physical therapy. He is by far the smartest person I've ever met in the field of sports physical therapy, athletic training, sports performance. So yeah, he was one of the co-authors on my book. So yeah, it's definitely someone to look into.
All right, Travis Neff. So let's talk about the clinic, boostkc.com. You know, kind of describe it for us and what you do there and you kind of what you focus on.
Yeah, so the first thing you're going to notice when you walk into one of our clinics, it is not set up like your standard physical therapy clinic. You walk in, first off, you're probably going to hear some Lil Wayne playing or maybe some Drake in the background. We are a little bit different than that. We like to have a great time with the people that come to us. We have, in the clinic that I'm in most of the clinics around the KC metro area, a huge turf football field, basketball court, a workout room. I've got four people who like barbell training. I've got my own Olympic weightlifting platform with bumper plates, a really nice bar. We've then got, you know, your standard PT area with a bunch of plinths set up and whatnot. But yeah, that's a big thing is we very much so cater to the athlete. And I don't think you can adequately treat an athlete until you get them to the higher level demands that is required by their sport. So if I'm treating an athlete for an ACL tear, you know, by the time they're at 12, 16 weeks and they're learning to run again and jump, it's tough to train them in your standard, you know, concrete gym with carpet on the ground. So getting them out there on our turf football field, doing some ladder drills, running them through some box jumps or, you know, jumping over hurdles, man, it completely changes the game, not only for the physical therapist and as far as how many different things you can do as far as exercise prescription, but I think as an athlete, logically, knowing that you're getting out on a field, you're putting your cleats on again, you know, that's a huge component to just how motivated an athlete can be in the face of such a devastating injury like that it just, you know, they enjoy coming to physical therapy because they know that they're going to be having fun and, you know, they can see the end in sight.
Yeah, athletes doing athlete things. I mean, if you go to the website, you get a good feel of that. You get a good taste of that, what people are going to be doing there. What's something that you focus on in exercise prescription? Give us something that you want the audience to kind of pay attention to. Where do we typically fall short that you see in other places?
The biggest thing that I would say, and this is, let's just talk one exercise or exercise ideology, is single leg training. So often I see athletes who, especially if we're talking like a knee injury, an ACL, patellar tendon, anything like that, and they've gone to another place, things haven't gone well, they come over to us for physical therapy and I ask them, well, what's your single leg squat look like? Have you guys done any touchdown squats, basically a medial touchdown off a box? And they'll say, well, I didn't do any squats like that. I barely squatted at all. You know, as athletes, we have to be able, as people in general, we need to be able to perform the squat because it's a movement before it's an exercise. If you think about someone going to jump, the prerequisite for a jump is a squatting movement. The ability to land from a jump is a squat, the ability to control a deceleration. If you're not doing that on two and on one legs, you're missing the boat in how, you know, comprehensive you are as a PT in an athlete's treatment. So single leg training, not just balance, but actual squatting, getting through the excursion of a full depth squat single leg is so important. A couple years ago, I was treating an athlete who played on the line on an NFL team. And he was coming to me and he had been plagued with, you know, hip and knee issues for years. And yes, he's a big guy, so I don't expect him to be able to do a pistol squat. You know, the guy weighed over 300 pounds. But I just asked him, can you do anything on one leg? Can you perform any type of single leg excursion? And he could not do a 2-inch box single leg squat touchdown. So he couldn't stand on a box 2 inches in height, do a tiny, tiny squat on one leg, tap his foot, and come back up. If you think about it, when you're moving in a game, especially like football, there's going to be times where you're going to be on 1 foot. We're not always just on 2 feet. So if you don't have the ability to control your body through a small squat, in my opinion, every single person, no matter who you are, up to at least a 6-inch excursion, that is showing that your body has weak links in its movement capabilities that just sets you up for having an injury. So if we're talking exercise prescription, I think every single person that's got a lower body issue or even back pain needs to be doing some type of single leg squat movement in their exercise prescription if we want to have a full comprehensive rehab.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, that's the one thing I noticed going from amateur athlete to PT student was I was never doing anything single legged, and I was a runner, you know, and that's the main thing. You know, as soon as I heard and just went on Twitter and was kind of just reading, you know, movement stuff, now that I was a PT student, I realized how bad that was for me. And as soon as I started doing it, man, I got faster and I hurt less. That's awesome. ACL rehab, that's something you guys do a lot at Boost.
Yes.
What are some things you've learned seeing so many hundreds of ACL rehabs?
Yeah. So the first thing I think that a lot of people need to understand with ACL rehab is to not be scared early on to push an athlete to do things that are considered a little bit more advanced. Now, I don't really agree with the whole idea that someone may have an advanced protocol or an accelerated protocol, because here's the deal. An athlete getting back at 16 weeks is usually going to be way more at an increased risk for re-tearing, even though they look good on hop testing and stuff like that. I still think that they need to be in physical therapy for a long time. But when someone comes to me, and let's say they have maybe a BTB graft, they don't have a meniscus repair, so they're not limited in weight bearing or range of motion early on. Maybe they have a scope or something like that. You can get them up day one a lot of times and get them performing a small body weight squat. I have done a single leg squat off a box with an athlete day one of an ACL rehab. A lot of times, you know, people come and they may, you know, you may be seeing an ACL maybe once every few months. We have at least 3 or 4 every single day that are coming to us. So this is something that, you know, I've just experienced over time. It is okay with most athletes to get them going a little bit sooner into, you know, walking and, you know, doing a squat or loading that area. It's not going to hurt them, because most athletes are extremely strong and mobile before they had their surgery. We're not talking about grandma who had a total knee replacement and had difficulty walking up and down stairs prior to her surgery. These athletes were very strong. So their body, muscular-wise, can handle a lot of these forces. Obviously, I don't want to push an athlete through a lot of pain. So obviously, we're conscious of that. But it's okay often to be able to load that tissue early on, the first couple weeks. You know, we're working on restoring motion with other things, heel slides, some stretches. We're working on getting the VMO back activated, because obviously, you know, when you've got a lot of joint swelling, it's going to shut down that VMO a little bit more. But the biggest thing I would say is those close chain strengthening exercises are okay to start working in very early on. Again, as we go through the ACL rehab, another thing, just like we talked about exercise prescription, you better be getting your athlete doing single leg squatting. By 8 weeks post-op, usually that first athlete's back, you know, seeing their doctor again, that athlete better be able to do an 8-inch box touchdown, a single leg squat off an 8-inch box at 8 weeks. They should be able to. That should be a prerequisite to them being able to jump and even get out on the field. So that's, I think, a huge thing, because if that athlete doesn't show the necessary control, dynamic stability of their body during a single leg excursion movement, there's no way they're going to be able to hop and run and jump with good, you know, control. So that would be probably the most important keys to ACL rehab is early loading, but obviously doing so in a pain-free way, but not being scared to push an athlete early on that does not have, obviously with the qualifications, they don't have a meniscus tear that's been repaired that's going to limit their weight-bearing status or their range of motion early on.
That's cool. All right, good insights from a guy who sees a lot of ACL rehabs. I want to make sure people can follow the Instagram too. Got a lot of good information, got a lot of good visuals, a lot of good videos on Instagram, squat_university. The website is squatuniversity.com, and the book, as we said, available on Amazon, which is the Squat Bible.
This is The Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum Manual Therapy.
taking the orthopedic clinical specialty examination? To pass the OCS, it's important to understand clinical prediction rules, clinical practice guidelines, and recent research. Optum Manual Therapy has the premier OCS prep course that gets you from start to passing step by step.
Test out three free study guides right now at OptumFellowship.com.
All right, Aaron, every episode we give an opportunity for you to do shots at the end, parting shot. What's something you'd want the audience to take away and go forth and help some more people?
Yes, the biggest thing I would say is with every single one of your patients as a physical therapist, I want you to take a step back and I want you to ask your patients during your examination to perform a bodyweight squat. See what it looks like, because I think, and obviously we're not talking shoulder pain, but if we're talking anything the back and lower during that initial examination, if you can ask your patients to perform a basic single and double leg squat, you will be amazed at what you will find, and I think that will expand your understanding of how to treat that patient so that you can have the most lasting effect on their life.
I like it. The professor of Squat University, Dr. Aaron Horchick, appreciate your time on the PT Pintcast.
Hey, it's been an honor to be on. Thank you so much.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.